Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. So quick little story time about two years ago, I believe it was, I was at my friend Sierra's house and I needed to borrow some sweatpants. And so she gave me some and I put them on and I was blown away. I was like, wait a minute, what are these and can I buy them off of you? They were Vuori sweatpants. It was my first time ever hearing of this company. It was my first time ever putting these sweats on my body. And I'm not kidding. I'm not trying to be like exaggerating or anything, but these were the softest sweatpants I've ever put on and the best lounge gear that is now a part of my life because immediately I went home and bought some Vuori sweatpants. And now we have actually gotten a 20% discount for you. It's only on first time orders. So if you've bought it before, I'm really sorry, but welcome. I'm so glad you're in them. If you have not gotten or experienced Vuori, you're going to want to. Their loungewear is out of control. Now, they also have other gear, of course. They have activewear. They have really incredible, great quality sweats, sports bras, things for men and women. And it's so incredibly luxurious. Their brand is really elevated and taken to a new level. And again, it's going to be the best loungewear. If you don't get the activewear, at least get the loungewear. Dom and I both absolutely love this brand and we're so excited that we're actually working with them and partnering with them on this podcast only. So this is only for our podcast listeners. 20% off. You don't need a code. You don't need a special coupon. All you need to do is click the link that we have below. So this is in our show notes, or you can type in Vuori.com/optimal. Now Vuori is spelled Vuori.com/optimal. This link takes you automatically to their site. Go check it out, grab what you want, and it's automatically going to apply 20% discount at checkout. How cool is that? You don't need a discount code. And I'm just so excited to be working with them because we've been wearing their sweats now for over 2 years. And I remember these are the gifts that I would get Dom for Christmas and for his birthday because they're that good of quality. They're incredible gifts. So think about your partner, think about birthdays or anything coming up, or just treat yourself. They're really incredible, comfortable. You will not regret it, I promise you. So we've been asked about this topic a few times. So we're finally going to dive into scar tissue. What is it? What can you do about it? I think it developed this really bad name, you know, because early on in social media, it was really geared toward using tools to break up scar tissue, whether it was foam roller, scraping, percussion tools, all these things. And so we thought of scar tissue as this horrible thing that's really impeding my movement and causing me pain.
Yeah. And I think like clarifying between scar tissue, like from an actual cut or a wound or a surgery that you develop a scar because you had a cut or you had a really bad traumatic injury, versus like adhesions where people will get adhesions and I think kind of call it, oh, I've got scar tissue in my fascia or something like that, which similar-ish, or you can develop these adhesions between layers of fascia. And I think that's where you're talking about like using foam rollers or using scrapers or percussion tools to like blast out the scar tissue in my fascia, when in reality that's actually not real scar tissue unless you've had like traumatic injuries internally that have then healed and created all this internal scar tissue. Generally this comes from like some sort of traumatic cut or abrasion or
surgery,
you know, surgery or burn that you then develop scar tissue from.
Right, exactly. And even going back to those adhesions, we're not bringing those up either. We have done podcasts on percussion tools. We have done podcasts on foam rollers, on scraping, you know, so we've done all these podcasts. You guys, we can link them in the show notes actually below because that's helpful for you just to be able to go back and find those. But that is not what's happening. You don't need to fear scar tissue in that way. But let's talk about scar tissue from surgery, because I think that is something that is prevalent. And you know, if we look at the stats, nearly It was 50 to 80 million new scars are being produced just from surgery alone, and then a lot more from accidents every single year in the U.S.
Oh my gosh. On my elbows. if you're watching the YouTube, I took a nasty spill first time taking my longboard out in California. There's a lot more hills in California than there are in Minnesota. And I got going down this hill, and there was no end in sight other than a curb, and I had to bail. Otherwise, I may have killed myself. And I got some nice little cuts on my elbow. So exhibit A on developing scars and what happens. And I think skin, I mentioned at the beginning of the YouTube video, so if you're just listening, you wouldn't have heard it, but my integumentary professor, because there are actually wound specialists, like PTs who become wound specialists, which like when you're going into PT, I think most people aren't even thinking that you can become a wound specialist. But my professor, Dr. Heather McCormick, was obsessed with skin and wounds. And I mean, it's what she did for a living, but like, it's actually really fascinating how skin heals. And in a healthy individual, it's a very like regular process that our body goes through to heal the wound, lay down this initial layer of tissue just to cover the area, and then kind of try and normalize that skin so it can get back to as normal as possible.
Exactly. And so I love that you, you know, kind of highlight that fact of a typical everyday process that we actually need within our body if we have scars that are happening, right? And so we start with, you know, we'll just run through this process really fast so that you don't have to get into the nuances at all. But we start with an inflammatory phase, which for about 24 to 48 hours, you don't want to do a whole bunch of movement because we need that blood flow into the area, right? That's actually really important because that's going to help to prevent infection in those early stages. And when we get all those nutrients to the area, then we go into the proliferation phase where we can start to get early mobilization, early movement happening to kind of help that scar continue to form, which now we're laying down fibroblasts that are laying down the collagen in this parallel manner to help to form this scar.
Yeah. And that's just like I was mentioning, the initial layer. Yeah. So it's not a very like well-organized structure like our skin is. It's basically just to cover things up to prevent infection, to prevent any more blood loss, to like get this all under wraps so then our body can start to figure out, okay, how do we really create a stronger layer of skin here? And that's when we get more into like this modeling and maturation phase of the skin. And when we're talking about a wound too, like we've got different layers of our skin. Like everyone may have heard, we have our epidermis. Under that, we have the dermis, which is actually made of two different layers, our papillary and our reticular dermis. And then that's when we get into like our subcutaneous tissue below that, which is our fat. And based on how deep a cut or a burn or, you know, whatever it is, an abrasion goes into that, those layers of dermis, this process that we just outlined could take anywhere from 6 to 8 days to 6 to 8 months or longer.
Right. Exactly. And so as we're going through these, and we're going to talk about some of the techniques you can use for scar tissue as well to help kind of form some of those keloid scars or some of those scars that people don't really want because they become a little bit less mobile.
Yeah.
Again, we can't highlight like, well, you should do this within the first, you know, 2 weeks, or you should do this within, because like Dom said, every scar is going to be a little bit different. But the great thing that we also highlighted from the beginning is that there are professionals that actually work with this. And so if you go see even a physical therapist, particularly, especially if you just had surgery, you're seeing a physical therapist usually in the hospital, they're going to go through some of these processes with you, because this is starting to take care of the wound. This is how we start to take care of that scar tissue that's forming, and to make sure that we're forming tissue that's not only protective within our system, but still mobilized within our system. And I think that's what, especially coming from burns or anything like that, that's what a lot of people have issues with.
Yeah. And I think kind of what Jen's mentioning, where we want to, a lot of what people want to do is avoid these hypertrophic or keloid scars, which are, you know, either scars that have started to get a lot wider, and it just develops kind of a lot of a weaker area of skin, and it might not be, or might be unsightly, and people just don't want to have that big of a scar, or these keloid scars that just like get really big and bumpy, and it's actually just a development of a lot of extra tissue. And during these initial phases of when our body's creating scars, during the inflammatory and proliferation phase, our body, again, we said, like, it's amazing. It has this process built in, and it sends all of these messengers and all this stuff to that site to say, okay, let's build, let's rebuild. And sometimes that gets a little bit out of hand, especially if we have repeat irritation of the area. If the scar or the cut is on a joint, like the knee, and we're needing to bend in, and it's rubbing on different clothes or rubbing on bandages, that's just going to keep us in this prolonged inflammatory phase. And that's one of the ways that we can start to develop these keloid or hypertrophic scars.
Yeah, so really started to control some of those processes becomes really important. I mean, when we're talking about especially the scars that we see on the outside, you know, they are more inflexible. They're usually thicker. And unfortunately, they're usually a little bit weaker. And so, you know, starting to move it based on what our body can tolerate, especially when we start getting a little bit further into that modeling and remodeling phase or maturation phase, that's where it's really important to start to put a certain type of load on the scar that's appropriate. And again, this is so hard to say, right? What does that load look like? What is that? It's so specific to the type of scar that you had, the type of surgery that you had. But knowing that as we get later into the phases of healing, that we do need load to help rebuild that scar and create more of that mobility and strength so that we don't only have that protection, but we have that freedom of movement and it's a little bit stronger.
I mean, our fibroblasts, which are the things that are laying down the collagen, and the collagen itself responds to that stretch and it responds to that mechanical load. So so that's where through all stages of incision healing and scar healing, to be able to move our body in kind of the natural way, again, as long as it's not impeding the scar healing process or the incision healing process to any point, or adding significant extra irritation, which might keep us in that prolonged inflammatory phase.
Right.
We need to have that natural movement to educate those fibroblasts and that collagen, like how it should be healing to form the strongest layer of skin, you know, possible after that healing phase.
So let's discuss some of those techniques that we mentioned that can help with some scar tissue formation so that we're rebuilding in that stage and in that way that we really want to.
Yeah, one that you'll see on a lot of different wounds or incisions, especially coming out of the hospital, but something that can be beneficial is having compression over that incision. Because again, we do want inflammation, but compression is something that can just help to mute a little bit of that, what might become prolonged inflammation.
Especially after that first 48, you know, day to day and a half. Like, we don't want to continue that phase of really having so much blood flow coming to that area.
Yeah, so a lot of times you'll get this like neoprene type compression sock or compression stocking that you can bring home with you and have over the area that just will help prevent too much blood flow to the area and too much inflammation from proliferating.
Right. Another technique that people will use is just mobilizing the scar tissue, which is a huge one. And this is something, especially if you go in person, which hopefully if you've had surgery or a major accident, you're going to see a physical therapist in person, right? And they're teaching you techniques or either doing techniques on you to help mobilize that scar tissue around the area.
Yeah. I mean, I think every PT, if there's any PTs out there that would be listening, you know of, or anybody who's listening who's had a total knee or total hip replacement, you've probably seen your PT work on your scar where they just kind of work it side to side. And again, this is really once we're well into that maturation phase, generally when we're working in the clinic and you work on the scar side to side and you just start kind of working that skin, especially the healing scar, in all directions. Because again, we're starting to give that stimulus where, hey, we need the skin to be able to move in all directions. Because most scars, if you've ever had a scar on yourself, you'll notice that they feel sticky.
Yeah.
Like if you try grabbing, stiff. If you try grabbing that skin and lifting it up, there's a portion that is kind of sticky to the tissue underneath it. So just getting that moving side to side, back and forth, doing circles, working the directions of the clock can be great on that scar tissue.
Right, exactly. I mean, we're going to help by controlling like kind of the direction and the length of that scar by being able to do those mobilizations. We're also helping to, you know, kind of relax that contractile element of the scar so it's not feeling the need to be so sticky anymore. Increasing that blood flow, increasing that venous and lymphatic return, and really ultimately increasing cellular metabolism in that area.
Yeah, and some of these other like strategies or interventions that we looked at, I think have to do a little bit more with like stuff after surgery, intense burns, you know.
Yeah, specific type of scars.
Yeah, pretty, a little bit more advanced injuries. Like there was a resource that talked about silicone and how silicone can be used, you know, within the first month or two to be able to kind of help reform that protective barrier and keep the skin hydrated. And I think that this was talking more specifically with a little more severe burn injuries where people might have large areas of their skin, because then you lose the ability to sweat when you're developing scars. You don't have sweat, you know, sweat glands on the on that tissue. So you need to keep that skin hydrated, and you also lose the ability to have that temperature regulation because of that. So
it's just like a topical treatment that you can use.
Yeah.
But that would most likely be, you know,
with a professional, with somebody who's like a wound care specialist.
This isn't like, go get
hospital
silicone topical treatment for yourself. You know, this is something that is early on. And if it does end up happening to you, you do end up with a burn, something you can ask your clinical provider.
Yeah, because there's all sorts of other topical options. And I'm sure that there's some silicone-based options that you can get over the counter or from a doctor. But then there's also different steroid topical treatments that you can use. Again, steroid medications will tend to attack the inflammatory process. So if you're starting to have some longer term inflammation, this is a topical treatment that can start to just kind of knock that down. Again, would be something you'd probably get from your doctor.
I mean, they did talk about some corticosteroids that really help to reduce, you know, that collagen formation.
They also mentioned how it was great in the short term.
It was great in the short term for sure. And it really could help to reduce like that risk of getting that keloid scar. So that's kind of like that thicker scar that we talked about in the beginning.
So then, you know, there were some brief things that mentioned laser or cryotherapies. And I think both of these kind of what they mentioned, like with laser therapy, it said it essentially kills some of the surface level micro like veins and micro capillaries that again are just delivering a lot of this blood flow, or it might be used to target inflammation. So a lot of these therapies I think are more so just, we can use this to target some of that prolonged inflammation you might get in an injury process like this. Same with cryotherapy treatments. You know, there were some talking about how they would use liquid nitrogen to stop blood flow to a scar area, or just even, you know, topical like local methods of using ice packs and stuff like that, I'm sure would help bring down blood flow and maybe start bringing down any of that prolonged inflammation.
One that was cool, like if you've had a cesarean, so a C-section, just applying simple tape can help, you know, to, I think it said within the first 12 weeks to kind of help reduce that chance of a hypertrophic scar to form. So,
and I think that points out something cool about just if you have a wound dressed properly, it's probably giving a little bit of that pressure. One of the first things that we brought up, a little bit of that pressure onto the wound and preventing anything from kind of getting out of hand. Also, tape is going to have a little bit of that tension to it. So it might reduce a little bit of the blood and inflammation's ability to get right up to that surface level. So yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I think overall, understanding that early mobilization for scars is pretty good, right? We want at least a day or two to kind of relax, allow the body to do its thing. But then starting to get some mobilization around, you can even use your fingers. You can start to desensitize a scar. That's really important too. So if you're using like a towel, so say I'm on my stomach, because say you had a C-section, right? And or any scar anywhere, but you're using like a towel to just lightly kind of brush over it. There's a lot of sensitivity to that area. So before we start really like tugging and moving, just starting to desensitize the area of the scar is really important, and light touch is something that's really crucial that we do in the clinic as well. So just starting to get some light touch in the area, making that a little bit less sensitive. And then we can start to go on to, you know, exercises where we're starting to move the tissue. And then beyond just moving the tissue, that's when we start to move our bodies, because moving our body helps to, again, mobilize that area to help with that rebuilding and that remodeling phase. And I feel like we're going to get the question, well, what do I do if I feel like I never got to do those things and I have scar tissue that's just forming, you know?
I mean, our body is constantly, like those fibroblasts we brought up, we have fibroblasts in our body at all times that are taking away and bringing in different collagen. I think it's a different thing that takes away and brings in the collagen. They're called something slightly different, but these things and these cells are in our body at all times, taking away skin and bringing in new skin. And although during this initial process, our body might respond to it a little better and prevent from these things from forming, that doesn't mean that we can't influence these cells in our body to start to remodel that tissue slightly differently. So, I mean, I had a surgery, inguinal hernia, when I was, you know, pretty young, like a junior in high school, and I still have a scar on my stomach that is a little bit sticky at times. That doesn't mean that I can't present day start to work on that, work on that tissue, work on my movement again in different ways that will help free up or remodel some of the skin in that area.
Movement is everything, you guys. And so if you really feel like there's just an area that's super stuck, we have to start moving not only that area, but the areas around. Because remember how the body is all connected. Our fascia is all connected together. And so if I have a really stuck area that maybe has more of an adhesion rather than that necessary scar tissue from a surgery or anything, but if I start moving my hamstrings, that's going to start to pull on the tissue that's in my low back or my QL that might feel like it has scar tissue and it's stuck, right? So even if we start moving in different areas, moving and mobilizing our bodies, that's going to help and play a role on what we're feeling in other areas. And so you don't have to be, you know, stuck in, I just have scar tissue, this is what I've been told, I have these adhesions that will never go away. Well, that doesn't mean that you can't improve the mobility and improve the strength around that area so that you improve the function. Everything is about function. It's not necessarily about the structure. So if you're improving your function, then you're reducing those pain signals and you're just starting to feel something different.
And I think so many of the people who are saying these things like, oh, I have scar tissue in this area or this area, you have had some sort of surgery or you have had some sort of procedure where, again, the scar tissue might not just be surface level. Mm-hmm. And we might have actual scar tissue plus adhesions that have worked into those different layers of fascia. So this is where what Jen is saying is so, so instrumental and so vital to be moving systemically and finding out how those restrictions at that hip might be impacting movement up through my core into my upper back and down, you know, through the chain in my leg. And that's where, you know, checking out something like the full body mobility plan at Gen Health, it really has lower body mobility flows, spinal mobility flows, upper body mobility flows, full body. So it's going to help integrate everything across all those joints, so that, again, like she said, those fascial planes that might be affected at the hip that then are affecting you all the way up your right side or all the way, you know, to your opposite shoulder or something like that. Jen works on those things in those mobility flows. So check out Jen Health. You can always get a free week trial. If you go to the link down in the show notes, there's a 50% discount for people who choose to do the annual membership. So great deal to get in there and keep that body moving. Thanks for joining us for another PT Pearl all about scar tissue and what you can do to improve any scar tissue you might be experiencing. Please share this out with a friend or consider leaving a rating and review on your favorite podcasting platform. Of course, we have YouTube highlights so you can watch the video that is associated with any of our PT Pearls. And of course, we will see you next time on the Optimal Body Podcast.